Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Number 90.
9-0.
This is an extra Flemmy episode of
Yes,
Two Bards. That's Flemmy, not Flemish.
Correct, yes.
As we are, both the bards are down hard with the bard bug. It is, as Scott has demonstrated,
not purposefully.
I'm following up. So we now, we're not going to blame Brian Lewis.
No.
But we're going to blame Brian Lewis.
We're at least going to call his shit out.
Yeah. He did stop by and he had a bug a while ago. I don't think this is the same thing.
No, but I
want to
call a contagion.
He had a contagion. He was contagious. He was the beginning of any of those early 2000s horror films about outbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
And Typhoid Lewis decided to come over, cough in my mouth for some reason.
Yeah. He pulled a helix.
He pulled a helix.
Just started watching that.
I haven't. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sci-fi.
Hey, awesome. You get a pop culture reference that I don't.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Woo! And nobody else listening did either because nobody else is watching it.
Right. So let's go ahead and talk about the gigantic orange elephant in the room.
That we finally...
Oh, no, wait. Bo left.
Oh.
Let's talk about the other one.
Okay.
Patreon. Partyon.
I think it would be...
Patronage. Shit. No, because it does... Yeah. Anyway, we have one now.
Yes.
It's patreon.com/twobards. And you can go there and you can contribute and watch our video that we put up, that we recorded today, at great personal risk.
And extra, extra phlegm.
Oh, so phlegmy. So phlegmy. Basically, let's give you the rundown of why, because you are probably right now contributing to way too much stuff. Mm-hmm. So why should we get some of your ducats? And the reason is, for almost 2 years now, we have put out very consistently, content week after week. I mean, week after week, like it's incredible to think that a weekly show has been that frequent.
There's 52 weeks in a year. We're on episode 90 today, and we've missed a couple.
We've missed a couple, and we have a couple of dot episodes that aren't full episodes. Like our live episodes from RadCon, our dot episodes. So even though we did produce content, we're not even counting that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're we're a fairly consistent podcast, and we've never got advertising. We never got sponsorship. Frankly, we don't even know how many listeners we have.
Yeah.
But that is what it is.
There are some.
There are definitely some. If you look at the analytics, it's in the possibly low hundreds.
Hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Anyway, that being said.
Wish we could get more shares on Facebook.
I wish we could too. And Twitter.
And thank you everyone, all five of you last week who shared the podcast. That's great.
And double thanks to Leslie Sedlak, who shared it twice.
Yes, I think once from Two Bards and once from either your or my
there
page.
You go. So,
but since Facebook's broken, that's the only way we can boost the signal is to get
without
people
paying.
To share it.
Yeah, right. Without paying.
Yeah.
So why are we asking for money? Well, we have been sort of coattailing for our production software.
Yep.
And we just need to separate ourselves and become a full production entity unto ourselves. Two Bards. I almost said Uber Alles. That would be terrible. But you
beholden
know,
to none.
Beholden to none. Well,
Two Bards, One Mic, beholden to none.
It's the new tagline. So we need to get our own Adobe CC subscription for Two Bards specifically.
Mm-hmm.
That's $50 a month. Additionally, we've got equipment upkeep, web hosting. So we don't know what we're going to get. And if we don't get it, we're not going to stop doing the podcast.
Yeah,
so don't worry about that. But
it's not a hostage negotiation at this point.
But we feel like we've already got sort of a an established product.
Yeah.
That you guys know about. And we're not... This isn't vaporware. This isn't us spinning up something new. Well, hold on to that. But this isn't us spinning up necessarily like, you know, oh, hey, we'll finally do this thing that we've been saying we'll do forever. We're not doing that. We're just straight up, here's a Patreon. Help support what you already know, what you already listen to. Regarding potentially something new, if we get over our costs for keeping the podcast running, we'll bank that, of course.
Yes.
And perhaps produce skits or something along those lines. We also know you guys are really interested in interviews. Sometimes those cost money. Usually they don't, but sometimes they do. It would definitely help us get people who normally we wouldn't be able to get. Additionally,
or even just to provide, hey, we'll get you some beers and...
Right, exactly.
You know, some a green M&M's or whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. Who's the green M&M guy?
Me.
Oh, okay. Just because of that old rumor from the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work then, does it?
No.
All right, cool. So anyway, that's all we're going to say. Go to patreon.com/2bards. There will be a link in the Timphonic Beats, which, by the way, if you guys aren't checking out, please, every week, go to the Linkmaster General's Timphonic Beats, Timphonic, whatever. You know what I mean. Beats. It's basically an annotation for the podcast that'll tell you sort of all the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, if we talk about a movie or someplace and you can't remember, God, what was that Patreon address again? Patreon.com/2bards. Was that a capital T and a capital B? Linkmaster General has all of that stuff waiting for you, already there, time codes,
yep.
The whole nine yards.
The whole nine yards and an extra yard.
Yeah, usually it is a full 10 yards.
It is a full 10. So,
thanks, Link.
Thank you. So moving on from that, I think that's enough there. Let's talk a little bit about our weeks, and then this is going to be kind of another compressed episode on account of our
contagious.
Compressed lung episodes.
Yes. The fact that we have about half capacity.
Yeah, we have half the air, so you get half the podcast.
Or just us dying on air.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wait. We do that every week.
So I'll go first, I guess, this time.
Yeah, please.
Aside from being... I was actually pass out sick for a chunk of the week where I would just shut down. My fever spiked at 104 at one point. It was bad.
That's not good.
However, I'm writing a script.
Huzzah!
Yeah, and Scott's actually read the first third.
Yes, I have.
I think it's really strong.
It's better than strong.
So, I won't... Let me... give me a week, and I think I'll be able to tell you for what. But it's going to be good.
Yeah. And it's not a dangle carrot thing.
No.
It's happening.
It's happening.
You'll find out about it the minute that we can announce it.
Yeah, and there will be a Kickstarter, but don't worry about it. It's going to be a pretty reasonable one. So just to keep that in mind, I'm writing the script. We're not producing it. It's not a 2-bar production. It's not a Zoe DG production.
Nope.
But the script, like I said, I think the script is really strong. I've got a lot of really good feedback off of it. People are really laughing when they read it, so
yeah.
Here's hoping that. How about you, Scott?
Well, I had my sci-fi audition on Monday for a character, and I thought I did very well. I was very confident in my presentation. Many of the people were doing it twice. I came in, hit it once, and everyone was like, do you need another take? Because that was pretty money. And I was like, nope, I'm good. Thanks. Not going to gamble on that. If everyone's happy, I'm leaving. So I got a call back.
Nice.
Was very excited. For a completely different character.
Ha.
With 5 pages of dialogue that I had to memorize in less than 24 hours.
Do it.
And I had a lot of fun with that. I don't want to jinx anything, but... I know that my casting director was very happy with me.
Hmm.
And really, at the end of the day, that's what I got to go with.
Yeah.
If I can make the casting director happy, they're going to remember me.
Right.
For other things. But the way that it's working this year is that there will be a general audition. Once that is done, it will be narrowed down to a much smaller subset for a casting director audition.
Right.
And that will be further narrowed down to a producer's callback, which will be in Spokane for the producers. So, with any luck, I'll be going to Spokane, not this upcoming week, but the following week.
So you can't say what it is, but there's enough clues there to kind of piece it together, I think.
Well, it's Z Nation.
Okay.
I can say that. I've got auditioned for Z Nation, but
okay.
I don't want to give away character names because sometimes that changes. And
right.
As I discovered, a good audition leads to a callback for a totally different character, which on the day may be a totally different character. So
sweet.
I had a number of voiceover auditions.
Yeah.
I did record for, I'm pretty sure I could say this, Singulex.
Oh,
which
cool.
is a medical company that does biomarker counting. Actually, they're quite an amazing company. And Rory Emmons and I have collaborated 2.5 years ago on another one. That was met. This is used by the pharmaceutical sales reps because they can't learn everything to talk to the doctors about. So they go, hey, here's a 2-minute video. Watch this. We're repping this.
Mm.
The company showed it to their sales reps. It got a standing ovation.
Nice.
From the sales reps. The doctors asked the sales reps, can I get a copy of that video so I can use it to explain to my patients?
Nice.
So Rory and I are pretty stoked. And then we got an original composer to do the music for this one. So if this clicks, there may be a tumble effect of some more Singulex work. So
excellent. Glad to
hear. And, you know, I can say myocardial infarction and immunoassay and troponin and all of those weird medical terms.
Too bad without... House isn't still shooting.
I know. I totally could be number 14 or whatever. yeah, and then I have a couple...
We looked up the cortical electrodes, but got no response. I started Gamergate. I'm an asshole. Wait, what?
No, what? Huh?
Anyway, moving on.
And then I have 2 auditions this upcoming...
Yes.
It's weird. Yeah, it just... I will have auditioned for 3 different casting directors in less than a week, which is weird.
Nice.
I haven't done that in 2 months. So
yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, it was a happy week for Scott.
Very good. Very good.
And we launched a Patreon campaign, if you didn't know.
Yeah, we launched.
I'm kind of excited.
I know.
It's we've been on the fence for a year about how do we?
Well, and you know, we don't like begging for money. Well,
no.
And I mean, this isn't begging. This is like if you feel.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what it's not a Kickstarter.
No.
It's not, hey, we want a bunch of money. This is just, hey, we're doing this.
Yeah. Pitch us a buck. Pitch us whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
If you like it, great. Help us continue to do that. Y'all know what our situations are, so.
And I guarantee.
Preaching to the choir.
Because we both have Catholic guilt baked in. if you contribute, we will feel compelled to create more content.
Yeah.
We're just gonna. That's just who we are.
Not to mention the.
I'm not even Catholic.
Rewards,
but
the monthly gets for certain levels are kind of in and of themselves awesome and time consuming.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy.
But time consuming with love.
We hope you enjoy the Patreon itself.
Yeah,
that we feel is actually kind of a piece of comedy too. So.
Yes.
And I apologize ahead of time if I sneeze. I'm gonna try and move away from the mic before I do. And Scott's dying.
I won't sneeze, but I will cough a lot.
So maybe we should move on to questions and get the hell out.
Hey, just a sec.
Okay.
We need to launch a Patreon campaign for medical bills, apparently.
The way you launched whatever that was out of your throat.
Wow.
Whoa.
I think that stuck to the window.
Rob
McLennan writes in.
Oh, and Rob, thanks again for the chain mail. If you watch the Patreon video, you might see a little of it. in the, a lot of it.
And not to be left out, I was going to bring the masks that Paula Moran made.
Yep.
But I couldn't figure out a good way to affix the mask under or over the chainmail.
Well, and I wanted us to, I wanted our faces to be seen for this.
Right.
But we should do a shoot with those masks.
Oh, we'll,
at some point soon.
I'm sure we'll have some Phantom of the Opera-esque skits where maybe two phantoms haunt the same podcast or something.
But we keep all this stuff, like it's all here in the room with us, there.
Both of us can touch it.
Yep.
Also, something that I can't touch for good reason, but thank you, Rival Guy, for the
Tim Tams. He found them at Target. And these aren't Arnott's, which is weird. So they're importing them as both Arnott's biscuits and Tim Tams. I don't understand that. But Target had them, I guess, as Tim Tams.
Sweet.
Very strange. Literally.
And yeah. And someone was kind enough to say, hey, I know a couple guys who would appreciate that.
You are so lucky you got that delivery because they were just sitting in my backpack.
Oh, I'm sure.
If I wasn't sick, you may not have.
Yeah. Well, I saw that it was wrapped in like three or four different bags within the...
Yeah, it was I couldn't see it
myself. No light of day. Rob McLennan writes in, given the way that DG Zoe folks take actor and crew safety seriously, from, i.e. from stories of the Guelph shoot and everything else, I just know that you'll want to comment on the recent conviction of director Randall Miller and his mea non culpa finger-pointing sentencing statement.
So this is all Sarah Johnson related.
Right.
Sarah Jones related. Yeah. So he released a statement,
which was the film Long Rider.
Right? Midnight Rider.
Midnight Rider.
Long Rider is the project name for something that's different. Okay. And
right.
Awesome.
Right. Midnight Rider. Midnight Rider. Where the AD.
AC.
Was
hit by a
hit
train.
By a train. On tracks they weren't supposed to be on in the first place.
Yes, they got the right to be on the land, but not the right to shoot on the tracks. And he's a complete asshole. If you read his statement, he comes off as a complete asshole. He straight up says, this was my crew's fault. He says, I only pled guilty to this to protect my wife. He basically threw everyone else under the train.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really fucking sick. And you know what, though? He's in jail. So, or prison, I think. He's in fucking prison. So, he can say whatever the fuck he wants. At least he's in prison. And wow, what a dick. And I don't think his production company is going to be getting much more work. Well, and if they do, it's going to be freak show. It's going to be, like, specifically because he's a freak show.
Well, he can't produce anything. According to the statement I read, he can't produce anything once he's back in civilization for another 10 years, 15
something,
years.
Yeah, as part of his probation or
so
something.
So he's not going to be
good.
A producer, a director, an assistant director in any way involved for like 25 years.
Good. Well, the statement he released, which hopefully, Seth, you'll throw a link to that down.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it.
Was the biggest pile of crap I have ever read. It is seriously like, well, it's not my fault, but whatever. I guess I'll take the blame. Ugh. And like, just completely blamed his crew. Blamed his fucking crew. When he was the one who said, we're doing this.
Right.
What a dick.
Yeah. So, I would say in not knowing all the answers to everything, I can see a point if there's someone else out there who's not stepping up, and he is, that he'd be miffed, but sure doesn't make him much of a leader, sure doesn't make him much of anyone else is going to want to work with, so at the end of the day, I think he shot himself in the foot as opposed to just shooting himself in the foot and taking it like a man. You know, you're the director. You're the top of the pyramid. Everything else under that is within your purview and your control. So,
well, when you read his statement, it's pretty bad.
So yeah.
Give it a read.
I will.
Yes.
Dennis Nickel writes, assuming that any and all dependencies are resolved somehow, so please fill in the blanks as you see fit as you answer this question. You are each the authoritative person for casting the next Star Trek series. Who would you select to play the next crew of the USS Enterprise?
Whew. That's a tough one.
It is, because I'm not a Trekker, I'm a Warzer. I'm a Warzian.
You're a Warhol.
I'm a War... I'm Andy's Warhol.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. well,
I think Quinto is perfect as Spock and Urban is perfect as McCoy.
But I think this is a new Star Trek that isn't the same characters. It's new cast members. Like completely new Star Trek series.
Oh, so like Deep reading. Space Nine or whatever.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah, so like... Okay. And I don't know why I cannot remember anyone's name today, so I'm going to talk in roles.
Perfect.
The FBI director in Fringe is my pick for a Vulcan. Going to go with...
The FBI director. In Fringe. The African-American guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like the way he talks. I like the meter of his speech.
Was he on The Wire? He was on something else, too.
Well, he's been on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Love that. I mean, I could cast the whole thing out of Fringe, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really like most of the actors in Fringe.
Yeah.
There's, you know, Angry Australian Grandpa. I forget his name. Walter, right, in Fringe, but I don't remember the name of the actor.
Right.
I cannot remember names today. I am just so sick. So, but we'll move on from that. So, who's my captain? Tina Fey'd be great, but I don't think that would get greenlit.
Ron Swanson.
No, Ron Swanson's got to be first officer, because he's got to be there for the exact role he was in Parks and Rec, he's just there because he hates the Federation, and he wants to do as little as possible. So the whole conflict would be, actually, that would be amazing. Could you imagine that? So Leslie Knope's captain, Ron Swanson's the first officer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got
Jerry could be Sulu.
No, Jerry's got to run the transporter.
Oh, okay.
Jerry's got to run the transporter because O'Brien, he's got to run the transporter. Sulu's obviously going to be Aziz Ansari. Mm-hmm. So you got him running around like, oh, what? Klingons? Huh? You know, we make up names for new alien species all the time. I just say rappers. which makes sense if you think about Voyager.
Like it's Lil Wayne's.
Yeah. Lil Wayne'sians. Yeah, exactly. They're from the Wheezy system.
I'm just chilling here with my Romulan ale.
Yep. So, yeah. That would be hilarious. The Parks and Rec, Star Wars... Or Star Trek, sorry.
Rob Lowe is the medical officer.
Rob Lowe is the medical officer. Oh, yeah.
And who's Adam Scott going to be?
Oh, and Dorian Flew.
Adam Scott could be the Scotty, the engineer.
Yeah, there you go.
Aspect of it.
Yeah, no, he'd be great for that. He'd be great for that.
Now it's the captain and the science officer that are dating.
Yeah, exactly.
And
who would Andy Dwyer be? Broccoli. He'd be the
communication. Be Uhura. Communications officer.
No,
how do I do that? You want?
I think April should be the communications officer because she just hates everybody and hangs up on him.
Yeah.
So April Ludgate's the communications officer. They're hailing us. Nope, they're gone.
Fred Macklin, Starfleet investigator.
There we go. Done. Yeah, he's the guy who always comes in. Oh, he's the Jeffrey Combs character. Yeah.
There we go. It's the Parks and Trek.
Parks. Nice. Nice. I like it.
There we go. Let's start writing scripts for that shit.
Oh my god.
They're done. They have no work right now. Let's hurry up and sign them to a deal because that would be amazing. And we know people.
Yes.
From RadCon who know the people in the Star Trek world.
That's true. TJ Walker is like part of that group and
I think so.
Yeah, we got a lot of parts of that group.
We do. And then, good old Tobro. Thomas Brophy on Twitter.
Tom Brom.
Tom Brof.
Tom Brof.
T- Kaz broth. No, no, Zach.
I need some chicken brothy right now. So let's get through Thomas Brophy.
Now, wow. Jokes just get worse as your temperature gets higher. Tom writes, now that it appears Gen Con... Oh, he writes in on Twitter, by the
Twitter.
Way.
Twitter. Oh, yeah, by the way, guys, we have a Twitter.
Yes, we do. Now it appears Gen Con... Now that it appears Gen Con will pick up stakes and move to a more hospitable state, any preference as to where?
No, they won't. I mean, if we're being... Well, let's just be pragmatic.
How about Lake Geneva, Wisconsin? I think they should move back there.
Well, if we're being pragmatic, they can't do anything till 2020, which makes their first message sort of premature. Because it did sound very like, hey, we'll pull... You know, obviously they couldn't do it this year, but we're pulling up roots. But no, maybe we're not. We're going to reevaluate after our contracts expire in 2020. So it was... This was the moving to Canada if Obama gets reelected of threats. In fairness, this is their only income. So all of the other companies that pulled out, this isn't their only income. Indiana's like small potatoes or whatever Indiana has. Small steak and shakes, I guess. So...
Small, poorly ventilated sewer systems. Got,
oh, God. Tell me about it. But, yeah, how can a state be so against anal sex when that's what their streets smell like?
Sorry, Michael and Athena. We're not slamming your...
No, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. The streets smell bad. Now, you get out into rural, you're fine.
Yeah.
Then it's cow poop and whatever. But the streets of Indianapolis are not... joyous,
odoriferous
to partake of nasally. Yeah. So yeah, I and I'm not, again, I don't want to diss Gen Con too much. They wanted to show their support, and I feel that's what they were doing, but their threat was slightly empty compared to someone like Salesforce, who has money coming in from everywhere. They're not, their entire income isn't based on one event in Indiana. So like, I understand it, but, you know, it's not going to leave Indiana for at least 5 years, like minimum, and I don't see it leaving then either, because it takes a long time to plan. Now, let's pretend it does. Of course I want it to come to Washington. Of course I do. I want to be able to drive the jet, because we can always get badges, but airfare is a pain in the ass. Flying is a pain in the ass, because there's no direct flights.
It'll never be on one coast or the other.
Don't care. This is a wish list. I'm wishing. So, of course, I want it to come to Washington. Hell, their whole planning committee's here.
So, well, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, you've got Peter.
But where
you've
in
got
Washington?
Derek. Now, I wouldn't put it in Seattle.
No, God, no.
I would actually say, like, Olympia would be awesome.
If they don't have the infrastructure for that.
They don't. That's true.
You could go to Tacoma. Tacoma does have a huge convention center.
You could totally do Tacoma. And or even Spokane, honestly, which is, like, Spokane would be kind of interesting, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, gay marriage, legal weed, I'm telling you, it's a good con.
Yeah.
Just bring yourself to the
con. I think Tacoma would work.
Tacoma would work very well.
You got parking. You have the convention center. They've built a number of hotels around the Murano, so everything downtown is easily accessible. It's easy to walk to.
Yeah, you've got, I mean, additionally, you've got overflow or large event hosting areas too. So, like,
you got the Tacoma Dome.
You got the Tacoma Dome. You got
Emerald
Queen.
Yep.
For because, you know, there's all the off convention stuff that happens. It would be great. I think it would be awesome. So, if I'm wishing, of course I'm going to wish for it to come here.
Yeah.
Of course.
I was not sold on it, but now I've talked myself into Tacoma.
Now, honestly, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Like, I mean, that's... They just couldn't accommodate it was the issue. So,
right.
You know, maybe Madison, maybe move it to Madison or Cleveland, you know? Like, a bigger, slightly bigger...
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
But...
Get Ryan Stiles out there.
Yeah. Just get it out of Indiana.
Yeah. On so many levels.
Yeah. Or move it to Chicago.
No, God, no. Been downtown.
Yeah,
it's
well,
awful.
You wouldn't be downtown anyway.
Yeah.
It would be, but I mean, like, you know, like a suburb.
Yeah.
Like, not Schaumburg or anything like that, but maybe like Aurora or
why was it C2E2?
Or what if you could do like Racine, Wisconsin?
Yes.
Because then you could fly into Chicago,
mm-hmm.
close enough to Racine. Yeah, you, that.
And then actually, you got North Bend, an hour away.
Yeah, let's do Racine,
which is half a mile.
Yeah,
because well, daylight savings time, it would be in effect in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it would. You could go half a mile and time travel.
Nice.
Which is, I did a job training there, and it sucked because my hotel was in North Bend,
mm-hmm.
Indiana. So I would have to leave there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
To get to the meeting
at 8 o'clock, in
3 miles away at 8 o'clock in, wow. at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And it was like, and then I get off at 5, but then I get back to the hotel. It'd be 6, and it's mm-hmm. like,
right.
I'm losing.
You're all not sorts of time. Yeah. Just yeah. leave your clock set on the time at work.
Yeah.
Entirely, and ignore the time at the hotel. That's your trick.
That's what I should have done.
Yeah.
Instead, I just smoke cigars. Rob McLennan writes in again. Thank you, Rob, for the numerous questions. And in fact, thank you everyone for taking the time
yes.
to give two shits enough to write in questions yes. at all.
Thank you so much.
I like to give everybody crap for not using the Twitter platform, but that's okay. I don't even use the Twitter platform. We just love having your questions. So I just wanted to say that. I felt compelled. I think it's my fever. My fever's breaking, and all of a sudden I'm feeling a lot of love for everyone. Rob writes, a compelling villain is frequently the linchpin of a good movie,
mm-hmm.
often even more important than the hero.
Mm-hmm.
If you could play one villain, pre-existing or your own recipe, who would it be?
I could really only play Gorbachev. Let's see. Well, Kingpin. Fuck. Like, I could pull off a Kingpin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like my favorite villains are the villains that are actually doing the right thing.
Such as,
well, you've got Scar from Lion King, who was actually trying to enable minorities to fucking eat. You've got Lex Luthor, who's saying basically, hey, maybe we shouldn't put all of our eggs into this alien's basket, and maybe we as humans should come up with a way to protect ourselves. Lex Luthor's kind of a back and forth because he's like, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, like money, 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 money,
right.
you know, libertarian kind of like to the extreme sort of thing. But his message is don't let this guy be our, like, don't rely on it.
Mm-hmm.
We are human. We should be able to do this. Like, don't rely on this dude from Krypton. And it's actually the very much so the right choice. So, whew, yeah, I don't know. Rasputin. I'd be Rasputin because he got laid all the time.
Okay. I'm going for. I thought about this a little bit, and there's some villains that I would like to play. But if I get to craft my own, make my own recipe,
mm-hmm.
it's something that is an amalgam of... No one's going to like this, but... who's Charles Manson,
oh.
Jeffrey Dahmer, a little bit of Hannibal Lecter.
So you're just going all out.
I want to make the original Saw, Hostel, all of that shit look like total child's play. I want to be so malevolent and despised a villain that there is no way there could ever be a redeemable quality about me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, somehow find that vehicle, because all... villains, you can't watch good or evil if there's not something compelling enough
mm-hmm.
to make it worth it. And I would like to be that horrible, and I mean just downright creepy, oh my god, nightmares are made of this. Not creepy, not a lot of special effects, just a totally moral compassless individual whose only right. thing is to impulse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that I'm going to fillet this person right now because I want to see what all their innards look like.
Yeah.
And do that.
Yep.
Type of creepy, fucking awful, 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 awful. Because right. I can't imagine that.
Right.
And I want to lose myself to the point of being able to dive into
I'm gonna go ahead and move the mic another 3 feet away. So, well, not really, but
yeah.
Well, all right then.
Creepy fucking villain. Yeah. And on a hopefully a higher note, Paula Moran writes, who has been long silent, and I'm glad to have her back in the question.
Hi, Paula.
What is your favorite line of dialogue you've spoken as a character from a movie or a play you were in?
I can't really, off the top of my head, I don't got. I'm sorry, Paula. the riffing. My thing is, I don't like my favorite stuff isn't lines of dialogue. It's improv.
Mm-hmm.
So like the riffing for the security program in Natural One was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't even get to hear the best parts of that.
Mm-mm. I did.
Yeah, you did. The, I don't know. I just don't know.
Everyone will probably think it's Bards Suck or there's 37 more of me, asshole, which are good, which are, you know, have some staying power.
Right.
A movie that we will be apparently kickstarting soon, that we are lucky enough to have contributions from Bill Nye the Science Guy and Pat Cashman locally. I have a line where I walk into a scientific research facility and drunk, walking past the guard and say, "Fucking science." Kind of excited about that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm sure given some time, I could think of a lot of really fun lines from Depth that I liked screaming out loud. But from a play, the only one that really jumps to mind, and I was talking to somebody about that this weekend, was a line from Cuckoo's Nest, which is, "Who ever heard of a man getting too much poozle?"
Poozle.
And I just struggled with poozle for the longest time as a word, not
poozle,
not poozle itself, but trying to go, really, can we just change this to something that a contemporary audience will understand? Apparently I effectively pulled off the
saying off of it
in such a way that there was no question as to what poozle was.
Gotcha.
And so
it sounds like a Hasbro introductory, vagina. Like,
"Hey kids, before
join
you get
the
your
land,
before
the
you get your
land of poozles."
Oh,
poozles okay. are popping wherever we're stopping. Hasbro poozles. Bing.
Yeah, that's way better than what I was coming up with. So thank you. Saved me from a fate worse than death.
"I'm Labia, king of the poozles. Ooh. Don't touch my nose." Anyway.
No, that's not my uvula. That's my G-spot.
You are bad at biology.
I know.
That was still one of my favorite all-time Saturday Night Live skits. "Knock, knock. Who's there? Babs' uvula. Babs' uvula who? I don't know, Babs. But what I do know, it was oh, my God. Chevy Chase and Gilda Radner. And he was a doctor. And it was all about the, like, International Uvula Awareness Foundation or whatever. So... and they just did it because uvula sounds dirty.
Right.
But it's not, but it sounds dirty. So.
What was the one? Oh, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
"Holy urethra." It's like, okay, I'll buy that.
That's where puppies come from. Anyway.
Haven't gotten that far.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. All right, we're pushing 40 minutes.
I'm pushing.
I know.
I'm pushing my own head to keep myself standing. Yes. At this point.
So we should talk to Neil deGrasse Tyson right now.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to support a Patreon.
Please do.
Please do.
Oh, we should talk about the fact that there is one, what are they called? Goals, attainments, levels?
Well, there's a milestone.
Yes, the milestone. The unattainable milestone.
We have an unattainable milestone. It's their
hope.
It's there mostly as a joke, but if it happens.
If it happens, yeah. It would be the most amazing thing. In realistic terms, ever.
It really would. Yeah. It's the most amazing thing that would happen to either of us.
Yes.
Because it would guarantee. Basically, it's just the two bards full time.
Yeah.
Where if we happen to get $7,000 a month in contributions, which will never happen, but if we happen to get $7,000 a month in contributions, I quit my job. Womp womp. And we just produce full time.
Yeah.
So. Because at $3,500, I could afford to live, and then everything else would be, you know, anything we gained through doing production work would mm-hmm. be like extra. So it would be awesome.
Yeah.
But we don't expect that to happen.
No.
But if it does.
If it does happen, and the only way it's going to happen is if you share it.
Yeah. Or if Neil deGrasse Tyson,
in his benevolence, his awesome, awesome interstellarness.
Yes.
His otherworldly, universally black holy.
Neil deGrasse, who studies heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy hadron come.
Oh, thy will be done.
Thy will, yeah.
On earth as it is in atoms. I don't know.
Well, nobody knows.
No.
That's why we smash them.